Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited about this week's show because my special guest interview is with none other than the nation's leading authority on sponsorships, Mr. Ron Seaver. Let me tell you a little bit about my good buddy, Ron. Ron is the president of Seaver Marketing Group, and he's the founder of the National Sports Forum. He is also the author of Brought to You By, the Ultimate Sponsorship Sales System. And with his 30 years of experience, his specialty has been most notably in the field of sports. Having worked at the team level 8 years as director of sports and promotions for the San Diego Padres, which is a very cool job to be sure, he followed that by 3 years as vice president of Fantastic Sports Promotions, which is a San Diego-based sports marketing, travel, and merchandise company prior to launching his own company in January of 1994. Seaver Marketing Group is more like two companies, with one half focused on working, coaching, and consulting with companies on how to incorporate sponsorship into their respective businesses, and the other half is dedicated to sports marketing and promotion. So Ron is a wealth of information to share. I know you're going to just love him. So let's get right to my very special interview with Mr. Ron Seaver.
Hey, Ron, thank you for being our special guest expert this month. I really appreciate you making time for us.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. This is an honor to do it, and I've certainly been an unabashed fan of yours for as many years as we've known each other, and I'm so glad that we've had that opportunity. I love what you're doing and the group that you have, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk a little bit about what we're doing.
Excellent. You know, Ron, I talk about the power of sponsorships, to my hurt, especially after, you know, I had you on Newsletter Guru TV about, I think 2 years ago, we met, I think it was in California, I don't know, we see each other at all these different events, and that was so funny, I was filming and I stepped over like this line, I was too close to the gardens or something, and yelled at, you gotta get over here, and that was pretty funny. Anyway, I digress, but anyway, so we always have a good time, folks, when Ron and I are together. So Ron, let's get to a couple pretty interesting facts, which I think ought to get people excited. It's estimated that this year, 2012, companies, corporations, and businesses across the United States will spend over $18.8 billion with a B dollars in underwriting events, programs, sports properties, charitable endeavors, you know, and info marketing businesses just like ours, right? And everybody listening to this call. So while it's true that sponsorships have kind of long been the stalwarts of teams like, you know, the Yankees, Dallas Cowboys, et cetera, underwriting meetings and association seminars, that's becoming a very hot trend as a way to not only alleviate some of the cost of putting on these events, but actually become, in many ways, quite the profit opportunity, right?
Oh, it certainly has, and I think it's something that really catches a lot of people off guard when I start talking about what we do with the sponsorship training and kind of bringing it outside of the world of sports. Most of us, very familiar, if we've watched anything, the Indy 500, the Super Bowl, any sort of sports competition, you know, sponsorship is second nature in sports. But they never stop to think, wow, you know, how does it work outside of sports? And more importantly, how could it work for me? So that was really the whole essence of going down this journey, to say, you guys have got an incredible asset, the same asset that the Yankees and Cowboys have, and just want to certainly make you aware of it. And that would go tenfold for your members here on the call.
So, well, let's start at the beginning. I mean, what does it mean when we talk about sponsorships? What exactly is that?
Well, it's a great term, and of course, you know, sponsorship is kind of like this nebulous term, like branding or something, where it could go in 5 or 15 different directions. But there's a group you mentioned earlier in the introduction that sponsorship this year will be pegged at $18.8 billion, and I'd love to tell you that I counted all of it. In fact, I'd love to tell you that I got all of it. But there's actually a group, you know, giving credit where credit is due. There's actually a clearinghouse out of Chicago that's been at this since the mid-'80s called IEG. It used to be called International Events Group, and for anybody on the line that is very interested in finding out more about it, I mean, we're not affiliated with it in any way, but it's sponsorship.com, which is a URL that I wish that I had gotten before they did, but sponsorship.com is their URL, and for my money, I mean, they are pretty much recognized far and wide, I mean, internationally, as the clearinghouse of all things teaching, trending, tracking of sponsorship. And their definition, so by way of explaining, I like their definition. I've heard a bunch of definitions for it, so I always tell everybody, whether I'm making a presentation or in one of my boot camps or wherever it is, I always use theirs, and I'm going to read it to you here because it's kind of a writer-downer, and you know. But when you're trying to think of what sponsorship is exactly, I liked IEG's definition, and that is the trading of cash and or in-kind products or services in exchange for the right to be officially affiliated, and you can change affiliated, make it associated or connected, right? Be officially connected with your program, your event, your property, your company, your audience, you know, your newsletter, your blog, your webinar, etc. And I think that is their definition, but I try to make it one word simpler. Just make it one word. In other words, sponsorship is really nothing more. What they're buying is access to your audience.
Excellent. Okay, buddy. So listen, you always talk about the four C's of sponsorships. Tell us about those and, you know, just tell us a little bit about each one.
Absolutely. And by, you know, let me back up a little bit because I do want to make this point. You know, most everybody outside of the world of sports that runs a business, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small businesses, writers, authors, speakers, you name it, when they start to talk about their business, they pretty much tend to talk about their clients or customers, and that's their asset. Their herd is their asset, as we call it. And they only look at it from that perspective. In other words, you know, the revenue that I'm going to generate is a product of my ability to get my clients, my herd, my readers, my asset to send me their money, to give me their money. And I think one of the beautiful things about sponsorship is that it's almost like being able to get a second burn on a match. In other words, even though you might be finished with that transaction, you still have more gold in your herd than you're aware of, and that's by giving somebody else access to what you already have, which is really nothing more than what sponsorship is. So, you know, you have so much more available to you by giving outside companies the ability to talk to your group as well. And, you know, a lot of people look at this and they say, well, geez, this is great because I'll generate more cash. You know, because, of course, a lot of us, we deal in cash when it comes to sponsorship. There's only really two ways to get revenue from sponsorship, and one is cash, of course, where they write you a check for the ability to have access. Another one is in-kind, where you're able to trade something in exchange for. And the third one would be a hybrid, where you do a deal with a company and part of it, they pay you partly in cash and partly in trade. So a lot of times when I'm talking to people, Jim, to your question, you know, they're sitting there going, well, great, I want to do sponsorship because I'll get cash. And I tell them that's correct, but cash is only one of the four C's of sponsorship. When you're thinking about getting sponsors, keep all four of these in mind. And, of course, the first one is, and you could certainly argue it's the most important one, you do it because you're going to get cash. But the second C that I tell people is what, well, it's cash flow. And for many of us, I mean, when I first started my business, you mentioned back in 1994, I'd never run so much as a lemonade stand before. And so it was my first time going into business, and, you know, somebody had always said, well, cash is king. I think I would amend that. You know, if cash is king, then cash flow is queen, because it's not so much what you get, but when you get it, and the ability to get money in so that you can keep your doors open, keep your lights turned on, which is what's really great about sponsorship, because with sponsorship, it's one of those things where you get paid before you do it. In other words, most of us are used to getting paid after we do something. We complete a project, we deliver the project, we get paid for the project. Or we sell our hours and we get a paycheck on the 15th and the 30th. The neat thing about sponsorship is we get paid before we actually execute the product. So it's almost like selling the book and then writing the book. You mentioned earlier that we put on a conference, the National Sports Forum, which is true. We're heading into our 18th year, and it's now grown. I mean, it's grown from 3 people to we'll have over 850 people this coming year. And it's the largest cross-team marketing sponsorship advertising gathering in the industry. But, and as you might imagine, Jim, we have a lot of sponsors at different levels that are involved with us on this. And what I love about it is that we get the cash flow before we ever do it. All of our sponsors have paid well in advance before the event. So I get my cash now when I need it, not necessarily my cash, you know, 8, 10, 12 months from then. So that would be the second C, and that's cash flow, and or cash now, as you might want to call it. The third C, I tell people, is continuity. Continuity. The neat thing about, especially those of us who live on subscriptions, those of us who do blogs or, you know, we're doing e-zines or we're out on speaking tours or we're putting on events, it's pretty much, you know, a one-year type of entity. In other words, when the subscription is over, you're chasing the new subscription and getting them to come back, or you are whatever the product is that you're delivering, you get paid for the product you delivered, and that's the end of the transaction. But in sponsorship, and it's your call, but the way we design our highest level of sponsorship, the only way you can be an official sponsor of the forum is you have to make a 3 to 5 year commitment. And we tell potential sponsors that right up front. We lock that in. It's in their best advantage, believe me. We are able to deliver them ongoing continuity, you know, 12 months a year. But for us, I mean, we tell people right up front, no, if you're going to be an official sponsor of the forum, it's a minimum of a 3 year investment. Now, for us as business people on this call, I love that because I have no idea how many attendee badges I'm going to sell in 2 years or 3 years, but I know that I've already got 6 figures worth of revenue locked in long before. It helps me to sleep at night long before I ever get to that point. I know I've got operating capital in the form of sponsorship. And not to make this longer, but there is a fourth C, and this one's one of my favorite C's. And if you're going to do sponsorship, you know, I liken this one back to when your grandmother used to tell you, Jim, you're known by the company you keep. So the fourth C is cachet, and that is you are known by the company you keep. So people may not know anything about my event or your event or any one of our products. But when they go on the website, and for us over the years, I mean, our sponsors include groups like MasterCard, the U.S. Postal Service, Anheuser-Busch has been a sponsor of ours for 11 years now, you know, Motorola has been a sponsor for 2 years. I mean, these are companies that are household names that anybody, even folks that don't know me, would look on the website and go, wow, look at the, you know, this must be a legitimate thing. Look at the people that, you know, the companies that are sponsoring them. This must be a very, very legitimate thing. So it helps put you in a much more prestigious light when you're associating and sponsor. You're getting paid for it, but you're also getting the additional bump from the cachet. So those are the four C's that I usually try to, you know, bring people up to speed with, because they were just thinking about cash, but there's actually so much, there's so many more benefits to it.
Wow, that's awesome. So, Ron, what does an info marketer need? You know, because, you know, most of the people that are in my community are entrepreneurs, small business owners. Probably a lot of them are in the info marketing world. So let's go there for a minute. What does an info marketer need before, you know, he or she can start soliciting sponsorships?
Yeah, great question. I try to tell people, because I know there's, you know, one of the first things is that people might think about, well, gee, I don't know if that'd be right for, I mean, I'm not NASCAR. I'm not the Dallas Cowboys. You know, who's going to want to sponsor me? And I tell people, I said, you would be surprised at you said it earlier in the introduction, that the fastest growing category of sponsorship out there, percentage-wise, is meetings and associations, which is ripe for info marketers. because, of course, if you've got an information product and you're putting it out there, it's all about meetings, getting groups together, associations, you out there speaking, your teleseminars, all of those things. And I tell people, just in the process of doing what you're doing, you need two things in order to become sponsorship worthy. One is you need a herd. All right? Now, maybe your herd isn't 60,000 people long. Maybe your herd is 50 people long. That's fine. As long as you have a group of people that are loyal, that are interested, that have raised their hand, they're focused on what you're doing, they're paying attention to your message, that's your herd. And then the second thing I tell people that they need is it's beneficial if you build a fence around it. It's not necessarily critical to sponsorship, but it's definitely beneficial. And that is, do you know who your customers are? You know, do you know their name? Do you know their email address? Are you able to stay in touch with them on an ongoing basis? I have certainly talked to companies. Restaurants always jump to mind. Restaurants that come and talk to me, and they have no idea. They know that they get 1,800 people a day, but they don't really know who these people are. They just know that in a given day they'll get 1,800 people through their doors. And I said, well, that's great. It has a value. But you know what would have even more value is if you had some sort of a frequent, you know, diners club or some way that you were able to not only be in front of these people but stay in front of these people. It's smart marketing for you because, again, out of sight's out of mind. You should be doing this anyways. But as an extra, you know, benefit to it, it now gives you that much more clout when you're out talking to a prospective sponsor to say, look, I've got a herd like this, and I stay in touch with them 12 months of the year through, you know, these five different methods here.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Ron is going to talk about where you can find sponsorship money for your business. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we're back. Let's get right back to my interview with Mr. Ron Seaver.
Well, let's talk about where do you find companies that are interested in sponsoring. I mean, obviously, you got your own Rolodex, people you hang with, things like that. But I think my guess is, Ron, if you want to be really successful with this strategy, you got to get outside the box that you're normally operating in, because this is kind of new thinking in general. So, like, where would somebody go to find companies who may be sponsoring, whether it's a small, you know, monthly meeting or a big seminar or some kind of event?
Great question, Jim, because, you know, again, I think one of the most common mistakes that I run into, especially with info marketers, small businesses, and things of that nature, they're so wired to the fact that they are the business. I mean, the business is them, they are the message, you know, they're the guru, which is true. And so they naturally think, wow, who would want to sponsor me? And what I try to let them know as nicely as I can, not to bruise anybody's ego, but most sponsors, yes, you play a role in them wanting to sponsor you, but it's not really you. It's not about you that they're interested in sponsoring. It's about your herd. So the first thing I try to tell people is to get off of thinking about themselves as the central core of their sponsorship and look at what it is to the sponsor's point of view. Yes, you're nice, but really where the value is in your business to sponsors isn't in you, it's in your audience. So once you have got that wired and you understand, like you said, it's different, it's a rewiring, it's a different kind of thinking, it's a little bit of a paradigm shift that I know a lot of folks will be sitting there going, oh, okay, I get it. And it's like, so now you've got your herd. So now you get to your question, who wants to sponsor them? Well, the first thing, there's three W's. that you want to do when it comes to sponsorship, and you want to answer this, and that first one is, what do you have? In other words, what do you know about your herd? I mean, how can you sell a product you don't know? And in this particular case, your product is your audience. You're selling access to your audience. So how much do you know about them? I mean, you may know how many people there are, and you may know how long they've been with you or how much money they spend, and certainly, as we talked about, you have their email address and the like, but do you really know much about them, their age, their demographics, the things that make them tick, the things that keep them up at night, the services that they need? For example, you may be out there teaching what you're teaching, and in the process you say to these guys, well, if you're going to do this, you're going to need a website, and you know, you're not in the website business, but you're going to need a website, and you're going to have it nice decorated, and we're going to have an expert help you with the decorating of your website so you can get your message out there. You know, and so my argument is, great, why not bring a website developer in as a sponsor? Because you're already telling people, hey, if in order to do what it is that I'm teaching you, well, you're going to need a website. Well, terrific. Who would you recommend? Who are you endorsing? Because that is so significant. I mean, not to say that these guys can't go out and buy an ad. They can. But a sponsorship is a different level of engagement and relationship with the host property, in this case, you. When you go out there and say that Jim Palmer is the guy that I go to for my newsletter articles, that really resonates with your audience. They pay attention to that. Now, Jim could buy all the ads that he wants to, and they might not necessarily pay attention to those. But when, you know, when the guru is standing up there saying, here's my guy, this is what you need to do, something almost magical starts to transform in the audience. So, again, it's knowing, what do you have in your audience? What can you tell me about them? What's sort of, like I said, what's their educational background? What's their financial background? What sort of cars do they drive? What sort of shows do they watch? What restaurants do they eat in? The more you know about your audience, and not to say that you go out there and have the Grand Inquisition and hold these guys up against the wall, it might be a subtle, ongoing, continuous thing where you're just kind of doing some back and forth with your audience. Maybe each month you're sending out a survey to them with two or three questions under the headline, getting to know you better. Because in point of fact, the more you know about your audience and the more that you understand how they tick, well, the better you can service them. But it's the extra benefit here is you now have an asset to be able to offer to a potential sponsor. So the first one is, what do you know about, what do you have? What do you have? And then the second question is a lot easier. Once you know what you have and what they need, what they want, well, then you start to think about it. It's pretty simple. You start to think, who provides the things that they need or that they want? And some of that, Jim, may be people that are very specific to your topic. Like I just used the example of somebody talking about maybe a marketing system saying, now go out and get yourself a website. Yes, that one dovetails beautifully into, you know, what it is that you're selling. But don't forget that everybody in your herd at the end of the day is also a consumer, and they consume everything from, I don't know, gasoline to fast food to cell phones to accounting services, office supplies, legal, all of these things that, you know, who would want access to what it is that you have? And that's the second W. Who wants what you have? Who wants access to what you have? And then the third one, when you're starting to brainstorm about who you should approach, and this one's a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, you'll be, you know, probably very busy at the beginning just going after the folks that want access to what you have. But the third thing to keep in mind is the third W is, who stands to benefit by your success? Who stands to benefit by you being successful? So in other words, the more successful you are, Jim, the more product or service that you are going to consume. For example, let's say you put on an event and you had 100 attendees, and through your marketing with Jim and the things that you're doing, you're able to grow your attendees from 100 attendees to, let's say, 300 attendees. Well, great for you, terrific for you, but here's my question. Who benefits when you now have 300 attendees? Well, if you're putting on an event, I would think the hotel, the host hotel would benefit by you putting on, you know, and growing your, you know, tripling your audience. Because, of course, the more people you have, the more hotel room nights that they're selling, the more business that's going to be in the restaurants as people are coming by, the more rental cars. I mean, you never know. As you start to think about it, as you are being successful, you're generating incremental revenue for other people. my feeling is those people have a vested interest in your success. So why shouldn't they help you to help themselves? So that's my third W. Hopefully that wasn't all confusing.
No, that was great stuff. So, Ron, what are some of the common misperceptions info marketers may have about sponsorships? You know, what do you think keeps people on the sidelines? In other words, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I'm starting to, you know, really delve into some of this stuff. But to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm typical or not, but, you know, I sort of get it. I understand it. But, you know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, especially small business owners, they want to go to something that either feels comfortable or that has, I know it's going to work for me. And everything you say, every time we talk, and I've interviewed you now, this is either the second or third time, it just makes so much sense. Yet I'm thinking it's either a long sale or people are just slow to act on it. Why do you think that is? There must be some, like, misperceptions about sponsorships.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, I refer to it, Jim, as people are hearing this with their arms folded going, yabbit. In other words, yeah, but,
yeah.
You know, and usually that conversation that's going on in their head, I figured out, is probably going in maybe four or five different directions. And so I think one of the most common, you know, misperceptions by folks that are just hearing this might be thinking, yeah, but sponsorships are just for the big guys. You know, because of course you're used to seeing that. You know, you turn on a sporting event and, you know, let's face it, we're not the Chicago Bears. And they get theirs. I mean, there's no getting around it. The big guys do get theirs. But as I mentioned earlier, what's very interesting from the sponsor's point of view is they start to realize that this sports stuff is very oversaturated. And, you know, they're out there. They could be one of 135 sponsors for that particular event or ball club. And you've all seen it. I mean, it's just oversaturation. Whereby, if I was to sponsor your event, I'd probably be the only guy there. Or one of the very few guys there.
Hey, Ron,
yeah.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you for a minute without you
sure.
Losing your train of thought? Because you said something that's really resonated, it's still sticking with me a couple sentences ago. You said, sponsorships is for the big guys. And I really think that may be one of the biggest reasons, at least the people in my community, again, mostly small business owners, maybe are a little hesitant to get into that. But I know you shared a story with me one time about how somebody that even runs a meeting that might have 40 or 50 people come to it could benefit from sponsorships. Do you remember that without me prompting
it? Oh, absolutely.
Why don't you share that one, if you would?
Well, it was interesting because that's how, you know, I was talking to a gentleman who ran a very small 50 people, you know, marketing group. He had a monthly marketing meeting, a chapter meeting, if you would, and that was his concern. He said, well, it's just for the big guys. I mean, who'd want to sponsor me? I got 50 people here. And I said to him, you know what? You're not looking at this the right way. You're looking at it from your point of view, and I want to rewire you and have you look at it from the sponsor's point of view, and I'll give you an example. He goes, yeah, go ahead. And I said, all right, you got 50 members, because I know this, because I'm one of them, and I come here every month, and you know, again, as part of our marketing strategy, you are always talking about the power of direct mail, not just sending out emails, but newsletters and postcards and brochures and special reports and agendas and things of that nature that you print. And because you don't just necessarily want to send email, you also want to use direct mail. You want to use a multitude of ways of not only getting out in front of your herd, but staying. He goes, yes, that's right. And I said, so let me ask you a question. On average, I mean, I don't know, when we send out a newsletter here at the National Sports Forum, it probably costs us $2,500 an issue. So it's not inexpensive, but it's some of the best money that we spend. So I said to him, if you looked at our printing budget, just for what we do with the National Sports Forum, our printing budget would be about $35,000 a year. He goes, okay. And I said, now let's say we're on the high end. Let's say you've got members that are spending, you probably have some that are spending more. You probably have many that are spending less. So just for the sake of this exercise, would you say you have the average member spending, say, $20,000 a year on printing, which, you know, can go quickly, guys. I mean, that's less than $2,000 a month. And he goes, sure. He thought about it for a second. He goes, yes, very, very easily they're spending $20,000 a month. And I said, so here's what I want to say to you. You don't have 50 members. You do the math. 50 times $20,000 a year is $1 million. It's not 50 members when you call up a potential printer. It's $1 million in a potential printing for them each and every year. It's a renewable asset. If you called up a printer and said, hey, my group spends approximately $1 million a year on printing, would you like to talk to these guys? I mean, how quickly, Jim, do you think that guy's going to get in his car and drive over to your chapter house?
Absolutely.
So it's not for the big guys. $1 million. I mean, printers, trust me, printers don't get calls like this. And if they do, they pay attention to it. But you actually have an unbelievable resource as the person who's putting on the meeting, and it's not 50 people. So based on that, I mean, we looked at two of his biggest expenses that he was paying for, and that was food every month for the members, and the other one was his printing bill. And he said almost overnight, you know, he got in a hold of our system. He said almost overnight he took the letters and the templates in there, and he got both of his biggest expenses knocked off. And, of course, he's deliriously happy. You know, so it's not just for the big guys, and I hope that was the story you were alluding to.
It was. That was it exactly.
Excellent.
So we probably got about 6-7 minutes left, so I didn't want to knock you too far off. So what are maybe a couple other of the misperceptions that people have about sponsorships? I'm thinking, I'm going to guess here, you know, it's for the big guys, which you kind of said, and another one probably is like it takes too much time or something like that. Is that one, and do you have
you
a couple others?
I mean, you know, that's the only thing that people go, well, I just don't have the time to get after it. And you'd be surprised, you know, once you start to put a system together, because like all things in success, there's a system that you want to follow. And, you know, I just tell people, just do one thing every day. Can I get you to do one thing every day? And it might even be to read your trade magazine with your antenna up looking as you're reading your trade magazine. Wow, these people want to talk to folks just like mine, or they want to talk to people like me. You know, so just do one thing every day. I think one of the other misperceptions is the fact that short of hanging a banner, they don't have anything of value to a sponsor. And my argument is you've got a number of things right now that are perfect vehicles for sponsorship. You just probably aren't thinking about it. And by that, I mean, you know, you all have a website. You know, you're out on speaking tours. You could be sponsored on those. You're putting on teleseminars or webinars. Are they sponsored? Are you doing sampling? Could you be doing sampling when you're out there to your members, or people could write in to get free samples? Do you have a book? If you have a book, why don't you get your book sponsored by somebody, so now that you can give away books as part of the sponsorship versus trying to sell them copy by copy by copy? So you have a tremendous amount of value there, and I think one of the things that people are concerned of is that, is it hard to find sponsors willing to talk to you? And, you know, for reasons that should be obvious, these companies out there realize that they've got to either get in front of groups, or they're going to get out of business. I mean, their success depends on their ability to get in front of the right audience. And if you have the right audience, they will listen. And I think the last thing that I would say, usually the biggest yeah, but, is there's no big money in it. And there's, as you can see, $18.8 billion. And I try to get people out of thinking, gee, maybe I could get $100 for this or $200 for this. And really, when I start working with my clients, it's like, all right, we're going to put together a package that's worth nothing less than $10,000 a year to you. So I really want to get people, you know, especially infopreneurs, to start thinking in bigger numbers, because you have a tremendous asset to them, and I think you should be taking advantage of it.
I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, sponsorship expert, Mr. Ron Seaver. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody. You take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.